Let us pray. Our Father, you are ever faithful to us. Lord, we thank you that you do not change in your love and mercy towards us through Jesus Christ our Savior. And Father, you have promised to bless the ministry of the word, that through it you will give us life. So in your mercy, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the 1940s, two Christian evangelists began to be widely known in the United States. And their preaching had something special about it. They began to draw huge crowds of people. One memorable occasion, there was a rally on Wall Street in New York City where the street was overflowing with people. God was powerfully at work in their ministries, and these two men were really close friends. The first preacher was named Charles Templeton, and everyone thought he was the more popular, the more gifted of the two. Everyone thought he was going to be used in some amazing way to reach the world. The second preacher was named Billy Graham. Now sadly, Charles Templeton died in 2001, aged 86, a firm atheist. A firm atheist. And he even wrote a book called Farewell to God. Billy Graham, of course, went on to be a faithful gospel preacher. God has used him to preach the gospel to more people than anyone else in history, and probably anyone else ever will. And they parted ways early in ministry when they disagreed about the Bible's account of creation. Templeton said that modern science must mean that Genesis is wrong. You know all that stuff the Bible says about God creating everything and making creatures as they were? Well, he thought, well, surely evolution's right, isn't it? And the Bible's wrong. And that began for him a terrible slide, further and further away from the Christian faith, until he ended up just renouncing all of it. Graham, and Templeton mocked him for it, but Graham said he believed the Bible. He couldn't explain it, he didn't understand all of it, but he took it as the word of God, and that's where he would stand. And look what God did. But their story shows the most dramatic contrast between a believer who kept their faith and one who fell away. Now, sadly, I imagine that all of us as believers at some point we're going to know somebody like Charles Templeton. Someone who seemed to start the Christian journey so brightly, so fired up about God, and they seem to speak of Christ, and then they fall away and can even end up denying the faith completely. Now maybe you have been really grieved, really upset in your faith because you've seen somebody fall away like that, a friend or a family member. What causes someone to fall away from faith like that? You heard in the parable of the sower that the Lord Jesus himself warns us that there will be many people who will start off following Christ, but who will end up rejecting him. Some seeds spring up only to wither away in the end. And there are other scriptures where the Bible forewarns us. People will fall away from the faith. So the key question for you as a believer in Jesus Christ today is, what must you do so that you persevere and don't lose your faith? We live in a time when it seems like everyone's turning away. Our countries are turning away from the Christian faith that has shaped them. The pressure will be immense in the years to come to deny the word of God. You might have doubts, like Charles Templeton, about this particular doctrine or creation or something else. Well, actually, I want to put it to you that there's probably going to come a point in every Christian's life where you'll have that choice and you will be tempted to turn away. Well, this morning, as part of my ongoing series about sin, I want to preach to you about this whole difficult question about sliding away. And my sermon this morning is really made up of three Bible passages. It's perhaps not the most helpful way to preach, but three Bible passages. And the first, on my first point, comes from Psalm 73 that we sang just a moment ago. Psalm 73 and verse 2. Where the psalmist says, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped." And my first point, to put it to you this way, is be warned, you may have slippery feet. Be warned, you may have slippery feet. You know, throughout this series on Sunday mornings, I'm trying to use a picture from the Bible, a metaphor, when the Bible speaks about us having a body of sin, a body of death. There's this fallen nature inside of us, the flesh, this sinful nature. And the Bible describes it being like this body that's attached to us, like a rotting corpse that's corrupting and affecting every part of us. So we've got a fiery tongue. We've got a stiff neck. We've got pride. We've got an old mind. We've got all these different ways of explaining this fallen nature, this battle you will have as a Christian against yourself. Well, let me put it this way. In this fallen nature, you're going to have slippery feet. Now, what I mean by that is that there is within you a natural inclination, a leaning that will be always trying to pull you away from Christ. It's a bit like gravity. This sinful nature will always be in your life trying to pull you down from Christ. And always there's that downward pull. Every day there's going to be that spiritual force of sin. And it's vital to humbly recognize you're going to have that battle and to humbly recognize that you could fall from grace. Watch yourself. You can be tempted. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And you know there's this picture in the scriptures that the Christian life is a walk. It's this journey on a narrow path to God. We walk with Christ. We're to no longer walk as non-believers walk, but to walk in love. There's the narrow gate, the difficult path. And to be a Christian, it's not about some decision you may have made or prayed, however sincerely, once long ago. It's about today and right now, walking with Jesus Christ, moment by moment. And so one of the worst things that can happen is you can stumble and slip back on this walk of faith. Jeremiah 14:7, Israel, he says, our backsliding is many. And our verse, as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. Now this is a solemn and a searching warning, because having the warning and being awake and alert spiritually is half the battle. Or picture it like this. It's like trying to go mountain climbing. Climbing up an icy, dangerous mountain. There's ravines on either side. Being a Christian is hard. It's an ever onward, upward struggle. And there are dangers and setbacks and troubles all around you. But because of the sinful nature, it's like trying to make this climb with your slippers on. That is the normal Christian experience. The sinful nature makes your feet slippy. And the Christian life is two steps forward, one step back. It is hard. We do constantly have to fight that downward slide. And really what I'm saying over and over again throughout this series is know yourself. Just know how weak we really all are. How desperately we need to depend on Christ every day for grace. Sin will make you unsteady. Sin will make faith difficult. Sin will make you fall. If you think about that picture the Bible's using of backsliding, and there's maybe two helpful things you can draw from that picture. And the first, very simply, is that we slip back by inches. We slip back by inches. When your feet slip, you're climbing up a hill, it would be very rare to have one slip that suddenly led to falling all the way down the mountain at once. Rather, it would be a slide little bit by little bit, inch by inch. That's what the journey away from Jesus Christ looks like. Very few people suddenly wake up one morning and go, that's it, I'm done with it. There's a gradual spiritual decline. Now first, how does it start? Well first, not that you do something terribly wrong, but you stop doing the good that you should. You start to neglect the good works you're commanded to do. Almost always the first thing to go is private prayer. You stop praying on your own. You stop reading the scriptures on your own. You stop meditating. Because the first thing that almost always goes is that communion with God, where it's just you and Him. And you carve out time for it because it's a priority in your life. That quiet time, some call it. It's almost always the first thing to go. That's the first slide. And then if that's not corrected, because we do all find that hard, but if that's not corrected, then there's the further slide. You begin to yield to temptations because your spiritual strength is shrinking and you begin to have doubts coming in your mind. And just little things that you know are wrong, but you excuse them. You begin to ignore that voice of conscience and you start to form sinful habits in secret. A little bit of self-indulgence, laziness, pride, anger. And again, if that's not stamped out, your heart cools. You stop loving God. You lose your joy. You lose your peace. His felt presence withdraws. And then if you still don't get a grip and start get going again, you start to find your joy in worldly things begins to increase. Your pleasure in spiritual things dies and you find pleasure in not necessarily even bad things, but just worldly things. And then what begins to happen is sin really begins to grow. And you start to develop some bad sin, a secret sin that you keep secret because if it was exposed, you know you'd be in trouble. Might be a lust, a bitterness, a covetousness. And it starts to control you and you're just slipping further and further away. It could be you start to slip back from the truth. You can mentally slip. There's a truth, there's a bit of the Bible you find hard to accept. There's some doctrine, you know, it just seems impossible to your mind. And it's going to require faith to just take God at His word. And you weren't willing to do it. And then, almost always another sign that you're slipping is you neglect church. You start to neglect the means of grace, the word and the Lord's table. These are the very things that God will use to recover you when you're slipping. This is the very thing you need, and it's the very thing that you start to neglect. I have found, I've probably said this before, I've found by experience, the almost always accurate gauge of a person's real walk with God is, are they here getting the means of grace? If you're here and receiving these things, almost always you're going to be going on with God. But you neglect them. Now sometimes life will keep you away and you can't help it. But if you're neglecting them, it's a sure sign you are slipping away. Watch yourself. You can have slippery feet. Know yourself. And then the second thing, just a bit more briefly, that this image of slipping suggests is that there are also outside challenges that can make you stumble. My feet had almost stumbled. The Bible speaks about stumbling blocks. There are some things, some people, some problems that will come at you from the outside you'll encounter that will make you slip up. They'll set you back. Some people stumble because of the bad witness of other Christians. You know that's true. Some Christian acted in an ungodly, a rude way, said something hurtful, or they preached something that wasn't true. And this poor stumbling soul encounters pseudo-Christianity, a false version of Christianity. And honestly, that's what's put most people off. There's so many atheists, you know, who started off as Christians, but they encountered a false Christianity. It wasn't lived or it wasn't taught the truth. Jesus said the Pharisees were like this. They put stumbling blocks in people's way. And he says, woe to you if you're like that. It would have been better to have a millstone tied around your neck and you'd be thrown in the sea. So that can cause you to stumble. Sometimes just the sheer difficulty and suffering that is required to be a Christian can make you stumble. That's very much the pastoral problem of the book of Hebrews. What that passage is about is some of the people that are being written to have lost their homes and their jobs because they're being persecuted. Difficulties will come, and so strengthen your weak knees. Make a straight path for your feet. The Lord tells you, count the cost. If you want to be a Christian. Psalm 73, he's slipping because of this problem. He sees that the wicked are prospering, they've got it all easy, and the believers tend to suffer. And he says, I can't handle this. Certainly another way is the devil will throw stumbling blocks in your way. Recognize when spiritual attacks come. Fears, worries, heaviness, doubts. And he'll try to overwhelm you with them. That's the mark when you know it's the devil attacking you. He's trying to make you overwhelmed. And then the stumbling block that's mentioned most often in Scripture is the lure of the world. The pull of, you know, Christians used to call it worldliness. The pleasures of life, of going along with the flow and how everybody else is. You know, to be a Christian, you've got to be holy. You're going to be different and godly. You've got to practice chastity, sexual purity. You've got to turn away from drinking and drugs. You've got to be humble and kind and generous. You've got to give up bad language and worldly values and ambitions, all for gaining heaven. But, you know, many are not willing to give that up to be a Christian. And they might begin well and are attracted to Christ, but they stumble. And again, let me suggest to you that often you encounter somebody who says they have an intellectual doubt about Christianity, creation, dinosaurs, could be anything. But actually, 9 times out of 10, what's really going on is that actually there's some sin they don't really want to give up. Beware. You could have slippery feet. That's the reality of this fallen nature trying to pull us back, and that's how the fall comes. But this is going to bring us to our second scripture. The good news. By God's grace, each one of us can become steadfast. You can become steadfast in faith. As you learn to stand firm in faith, as you depend on God, this is a really important part of learning how to be a Christian. You've got to learn how to stand, walk, and stand your ground. As you know, the joy Kristen and I have in Wesley and Elizabeth, it's such a joy as they've learned how to walk. And you know how it is with toddlers. They've got slippery feet, don't they? And what a wonderful thing it is when they're learning to walk that you hold them up. And so often their legs just suddenly go. And as a parent, you hold them up. God is trying to teach you as his child a bit like that. You are going to stumble and slide. You're going to make mistakes and fall back and get things wrong and commit sins. But don't let that make you give up. You know, the devil will tell you when you start to slide, oh, it's so terrible, there's no way back for you. In one sense, he's got 2 telescopes. When you're tempted to sin, he minimizes how it looks, makes that sin seem small, so you do it. And then once you've committed the sin, he gives you a telescope that makes it look such a big sin that there's no way back. Well, don't listen to that when you've slid. Because God, your parent, is just waiting to grab you and help you get back on your feet again as you learn how to be steadfast. And that's the key. You are weak. So hold on to God. Rely and depend on God's grace and provision. The second scripture is Ephesians chapter 6. Particular verses 14 and 15. Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 14 and 15. You'll notice there it says, stand therefore, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Same picture, isn't it? Our feet. Well, verse 11. Put on the whole armour of God so you may stand. Verse 13. Take up the whole armour of God so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14. Stand therefore. Verse 15. Having shod your feet. It's the same picture. And what's the picture saying to us? Well, this is the key. Stand firm on the gospel. That's what he's saying. The armor is a picture of everything that God has done for us in Jesus. Everything that he gives to us. That Jesus has won salvation, righteousness, peace. And we by faith have to put these things on. The picture is a soldier from the ancient world going into battle. And your footwear would have been all important. Battles and kingdoms were lost depending on how good your shoes were. Because ancient battles were more like a pushing contest. The soldiers would line up in rows with big shields and they'd push. And so an army with good footwear on solid ground beats an army with slippy shoes on mud every time. And so he's saying everything hinges on this, that you stand by faith on the gospel, this gospel of peace. Your feet must be clothed with the gospel. He's saying that the gospel has to be the foundation of your whole life and faith. Cling to the gospel. Know the gospel. Feel the gospel. People fall away from the faith because they were never really firm in the gospel to begin with. That's the problem. They were never really stood on the gospel from the beginning. Hadn't really understood it in their mind. Hadn't really been gripped by it in their heart. Never really lived it out in practice. Now, for some of us, it might be it's a kind of intellectual faith. We're really interested in the teaching of Christianity. But it can be a kind of academic faith that's just in the mind. You can have a kind of faith that's just one that's been passed down. You start following Christ because your parents did or because friends do. And it hasn't really penetrated the heart. For some people, it's because there's a kind of superficial emotional faith. You know, they've felt God's presence. They've been helped by God. They came to church and they felt good and they were lifted and God helped them in their trouble. But they did not understand the gospel. It was just a feeling. They enjoyed it. They understood it, some people. But they didn't put it into practice. They didn't get to that point of saying Christ is Lord. I must obey him. It's all nice and good and wonderful and I like what Christ gives me, but I haven't submitted to obeying him. And so there's all these different ways you can start off on the wrong foundation. Your feet are in the wrong place to begin with. And that's why people slide. And what you need to not slide is to be stood firmly on the gospel. What is the gospel of peace? It's the good news of God's grace. The good news of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. It's the message that there is an offer, a free gift. We can be saved from sin through the Son. He has come into the world. God is the injured party because of man's sin. But he's so gracious, he has healed the breach. He has acted and made a way back to him. And he's given his Son who died on the cross to atone for sin. Notice this is the gospel. It's all him, what he's done, his work, his glory, by him, for him, through him. This is the gospel. And he gives the Holy Spirit powerfully into your heart to change you. A life-changing power that as this truth is believed, the Spirit comes and begins to transform you and give you a new peace and a new love and a new joy and a new godly character. And so this is the peace. It's peace with God. And it begins to change you so you learn how to be at peace with other people. God forgives you of all your sins. Everything wrong you have done is forgiven. The slate is wiped clean through this wonderful gospel. And we are promised the gift of eternal life and everything needed to keep us and sustain us. This is the good news, this declaration, what God has done. And faith is that you receive this. Faith is you have your empty hands, your desperate need as a sinner, and you grab hold of this offered grace. You put your hands on Jesus, and faith is saying, yes. Yes, I trust Jesus. I take Jesus. I serve Jesus. and this wonderful peace is yours in him. And so this is the heart of it. You've got to learn to stand still on the gospel. The Christian life is not running a treadmill. To have peace with God is not about working hard to be good enough. It's not about earning his love or forgiveness. For many people, religion is like running on a treadmill. It's a lot of miserable, sweaty work, and you never get anywhere. Because no matter what you do, you don't feel you're ever good enough for God. No matter how hard you work, you always feel guilty. But the gospel of peace is just something you stand still and receive. You are given all these blessings, and you stand by faith and you just marvel at Jesus and what he's done. And you just thank and praise him. He's the one that run the race. And then the strangest thing happens is as you receive it as this wonderful free gift of peace, you're suddenly set free. You're suddenly empowered to go and do all the good works that need to be done. Somehow you find the chains fall off your feet because you're not doing it from guilt. You're not doing it to earn something. You're just doing it out of joy. And you're wonderfully set free to walk that Christian path. Christians slide when they forget this piece of the gospel. They begin to slide because your old mind goes back into that old habit of thinking you've got to earn God's love, that you stand on your own worth, you stand on your own merit, your own goodness. You stand on the gospel of peace. So how do you do it? How do you learn to stand fast on it? How do you get that gospel? Well, you've got to get it in your head. You've got to study the scriptures. You've got to ask questions. You've got to listen to preaching. You've got to wrestle with it. You've got to try and understand it, meditate on it. You've got to get it in your heart. The best way is you pray about it. Pray and rejoice and give thanks to God for this gift. Love it. Just learn to enjoy it. Learn that it's okay to be happy as a Christian and to rejoice in this wonderful good news. Stop beating yourself up. Stop being so miserable and hard on yourself as a Christian. Rejoice in this wonderful peace that you have. And let it control your hands. Live it out. Make peace with others. So stand fast on the gospel. That's what we've got to do. And then third, and much more briefly, our third scripture. The good news is, your feet can even become beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. I couldn't help but reflect on this. It sounds a strange thing, doesn't it? Beautiful feet. I think whenever Christine complains, when I take my shoes off at night. And if you can imagine back in the ancient world when the Lord gave us these words. You know, people's feet were not beautiful. Wearing sandals over mud and stone and long dusty journeys. And you might look at yourself and think, I'm not sure I could ever be strong as a Christian. I feel so weak. There's good news. You can not only be steadfast, you can have beautiful feet. You can have such a peace and confidence in your walk with God that sets your feet to dancing. You can have great joy as a Christian and be assured of salvation. You can have beautiful feet. That's what Isaiah 52 at the start of the service, it's repeated in Romans 10. It says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace. Again, picture an ancient battle. You've got a captured people who've lost and they're down in a valley and they're in darkness and they're depressed and they're looking up at the mountains surrounding them and an enemy army that seems far too strong for them. And then all of a sudden they look up to the mountains and they hear a trumpet blast and they see a messenger running, leaping, skipping over the stones and the rocks, running across the mountainside, and he's shouting out and he's declaring, the king has won. He's won the great battle. It's over. It's decided. You're all free. We can all go back and rejoice and celebrate. Let me declare to you, your God reigns. The king has won. See, it's a wonderful picture of the gospel. The Gospels, that word, that announcement that God has sent from heaven, Jesus has done it. He's defeated all sin. He's overcome the world. Hell is broken. There's new life and forgiveness. And now the Gospel is like coming over the mountains. It's hard work sometimes getting over the mountains. But it's coming and it's declaring to you, to all of us in our miserable, fallen, ugly world, lift up your heads and rejoice. Hear this good news. So imagine you're in that valley and this messenger's coming. How beautiful their feet are to you. How you rejoice to hear that good news. How you'd love that messenger. And this is his job. This is what God sent him here to do. He's that messenger to you to proclaim this wonderful word. How you should love his feet and honour him. But let me put it this way. Do you want to have beautiful feet? Then give yourself to evangelism. Let me share a secret with you. The strongest Christians, the happiest Christians, the most fruitful ones, the ones whom the Lord knows well, whom he admits into his secrets, whom he meets with in prayer, the ones he blesses with his spirit and reveals himself to, those who are steadfast and helpful to others, are those who join him in his work of evangelism. The way to be a strong Christian, paradoxically, is out of your weakness, is to forget yourself and to go out. And to go out with this joy, spreading this good news. There is no joy like the joy of telling someone about Jesus. The sheer joy of going to somebody and being able to tell them they can be forgiven and have a new start. The joy of going to someone who's lonely in despair, who has been crushed by life, and you can say to them, I know what you're missing. I know what's wrong in your life. And it can all be put right. In a moment, you need Jesus. And they can start a whole new journey. The happiness of telling someone that God is real and he loves them. And they can come home. And that God will give them everything they need, all the hope and power they need, and that they can live forever. They can have God as a loving father. Is there anything better than this? Is there anything more beautiful than this? Yeah, climbing over mountains is difficult. But the sheer joy of the message, once you get it, will make difficulties seem like molehills. Do you want to have beautiful feet? Do you want to stand fast? Then get out there. Stop being so absorbed with your own life. It's not because there's any lack of opportunity. But be bold and go and tell people this beautiful good news. And what a lift you will feel in your feet, in your spiritual walk with God. So, how healthy are your spiritual feet this morning? A doctor once told me that actually one of the quickest and best indicators of your overall health is the state of your feet. So how's your feet this morning? Are you slipping? Are you sliding away from God? Are you at that point you're learning to stand on the gospel and stand on its peace? Or are your feet truly beautiful because you are devoted to sharing the good news? Through the warning, through the encouragement, may God give us joyful, beautiful feet.